I'd like to start off by thanking everyone for being here today. My topic for you here today is management and environmental effects on lowest pod placement and yield formation in soybean. And the reason why we're concerned about these lowest pods and where they would form on the soybean plant is in terms of when we go through and combine, oftentimes many of these pods are so low that they are not able to be picked up by the cutter bar on the combine. And so what we want to look at is what are the environmental or what management effects drive this lowest pod height, and what's most what will we have most efficient harvesting with? And kind of to define a typical threshold for the cutter bar height, about 7.5 to 12.5 centimeters is a good range. And so our objectives for this study, what we were looking at was we wanted to evaluate population and maturity for lowest pod placement in southeastern Minnesota, which is population has already been known to be a driver of lowest pod height, where we would increase population, lowest pod height would follow and increase as well. And this had never been studied in a more northern latitude such as Minnesota, so we wanted to look at population here, reevaluate it, as well as looking at various maturities and their effects. We also wanted to look at we wanted to look at the effects of row width and plant spacing. So not only did we want to see if density was this driver, we wanted to see if instead of density it was really our plant arrangement, how close these plants were oriented to tell, or that would define our effects on lowest pod placement. And lastly, what we wanted to find out was when is this occurring during the season? Is it early or is it late in the season? When are these lowest pods, where they're forming is being determined. The first portion of our study, looking at population and maturities, we used three maturities. We used a late maturity one, a 0.8, a 2.1, which was our adapted maturity, which would typically be grown in the southeastern region of Minnesota. And we used a later maturity, a 2.8. All of our row spacings were 51 centimeters for this study. We used three different populations for each of the early and the late, and we really wanted to figure out, or looking at population as a driver for our adapted, what would typically be grown in that region. Some of the results that we obtained from this study, we see here, our x-axis here is our population density, and our y-axis is our lowest pod height, and where we have our blue here is our early maturity, the purple is the adapted, and the red is our late maturity. And what we can see here, aside from this early, or this the early and adapted at the very low population, that both maturity and population are drivers that affect this lowest pod height. And it's interesting, actually, that we end up with our early, our mid, and our late maturities to fall in respectable order from lowest to highest low pod height here. And along with that, we are seeing that our population here is really, as we've seen in previous studies in more southern latitudes, that this is a driver that increases the lowest pod height. And on the left here is the same figure that you just saw, but on the right now we have here is looking at total plant height. These are the final plant heights, and again on the x-axis we have our population density, and our y-axis is our total plant height. And what was actually interesting that we found here was that our final plant height did not correlate with our lowest pod heights, where our early and our mid maturities are actually switched for our our lowest pod in our total plant heights, where you can see here our early maturity, as we saw before, was our lowest of low pod heights and actually falls within the mid height for our maturity groups, and our adapted has a much shorter plant height. And along with that, we also obtained data looking at the yield distribution within the canopy, and we divided this up into nodal ranges, where here on our x-axis is our population density, and our yield is on the y-axis in grams per meter squared. The blue bar there is our branching, group within the canopy. Falling next to it, the pink bar here is our node 0 to 6. We have 7 to 10 and 11 to 14, as well as our 15 and above range. And what was interesting, this is only a figure showing our adapted maturity, because we did not find an interaction between maturity group and population. So maturity was not, they were not different than our adapted. But what we see here is really our branching just dominates our yield within the canopy at lower populations, which we would expect. But along with that, as we had seen earlier, we're going to have a much lower pod height. So more of these pods are going to fall below the cutter bar, possibly, and we can have more yield loss. Whereas at these higher populations, what we see is this yield is pushed up higher on the plant, so we would expect to have less yield losses at the time of harvest. The next portion of our study we looked at was the equidistance study, where we were looking here at our row width and inter-row plant spacings. For this, we used only our adapted maturity, our 2.1. We had three row spacings. We had 25, 51, and 76 centimeter row spacings, along with an equidistant row spacing treatment, where you can see by this picture here, plants were oriented the exact same spacing to plants above, below, and to either side of them. And really what we were getting at with this, we have various populations with it, but for same populations, each of them have different plant spacings. So we're going to compare these plant spacings at each of these populations to see if this is one of the drivers or if it's simply population density itself. And from this study, these are 2008 results again, what we obtained was error bars shown in here, but none of these were significantly different between each other. Simply what we're seeing is just this population density increasing effect that we had seen before, with no interaction from our row width and plant spacing treatments. So that does not appear to be one of the drivers that we're seeing here. And the final portion of our study we looked at was our timing of thinning study, where we really wanted to look at the timing of this lowest pod placement and when during soybean development it was being determined. And for this study, we used our adapted maturity with only 51 centimeter row spacings. We had four to five thinning treatments. We added an extra one in 2009. Our initial populations here, we had 43 plants per meter squared, and we thinned those at each of the respectable stages to slightly less than half of what we had had before. And those were, we had our control, which was our no thin, our V1, a very early thin. We had beginning pod, our R3, an R4, which we added in 2009, and I'll tell you a little bit about that in my next slide, why we added that, and our R5 thin. And here are the lowest pod height results for 2008 for that study. And what we see here is we see two different heights. We're seeing that our V1 and our R3 are similar in height, and our R5 and our control are similar in height. And really what this tells us is that between V1, very early in the season, and R3, that nothing is going on here for our lowest pod height determination. So it wouldn't have mattered whether we had thinned anywhere in between there. We're still, nothing's happening until after R3. And our R5 and our control, which we see are significantly the same, what we're seeing here is this control could actually be thinning such a late thinning that we don't thin at all. And at R5, where we thin there, we see that after R5, it doesn't matter when we thin. This lowest pod height has already been determined, but it's somewhere between R3 and R5 where these effects are taking place. So, which is actually why in 2009 we added an R4 treatment to look a little bit more closely at where this is happening. And looking at yield distribution within the canopy for this study here, what we see is that, as we would expect between our control and our V1s here, that where our V1 would potentially be, or would be similar to a low population initially, where we would have branching be dominant in there, and our control would be our higher population, which we would expect to have lower branching. We see that at our R3 stage here, that branching is actually able to increase after thinning in order to compensate for this reduced stand numbers. And after R5, we're not able to, or at R5, we are not able to compensate for this yield at that point. We would expect that this would be happening because at R3 is about the time when many of the flowers are being aborted that are not forming into pods in soybean, whereas in R5, really the only way that soybeans can compensate, not by increased podding, but by increased seed size alone. So that's a lot of why we would expect to see what we're seeing, where lowest pod height is being determined between R3 and R5, which is about the time when flowers would either be set as pods or aborted. And to conclude what we've seen here, population and maturity group have been seen to be management drivers affecting the lowest pod height in 2008. We did not see an effect of row width or plant spacing on lowest pod height. And it's, in fact, very late in the season between R3 and R5 where we're seeing this lowest pod height determination happening. And with that, I'll open it up for questions.
We have about 4 minutes, so time for 2 or 3 questions.
I have a question. For a given plant density, you show differences between the maturity groups in the of the lowest. That difference has to do with the position of the node. I mean, in one maturity group, for example, the lowest body is set in the node number 4, and in the other maturity group is set in number 2, or the internode length different, and both are set in the lowest pod in the same node number.
So your question is, were there differences in what node this lowest pod actually had occurred at? We had made measurements for just the actual height of this node, and not more so looked at the actual node itself. But I would expect that more so population is a driver of this internode length, and that between maturities, we had seen that there was we'd had taller final plant heights for our longer maturity that we had used, but those plants had also put on more nodes. So I would expect similar internode ranges for those, but that's something that I'd have to go back and look at. So. You know, we recorded the lowest one, but there was actually, at the lower populations, there was actually, on the branches, was generally where we would find this lowest pod. And there were several more on the low populations than at the higher populations. At the higher populations, this lowest pod height that we saw was generally one, maybe two pods, whereas there would be more like five or six at our very low populations.
Very good. Thank you.